You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the
Toasted Marshmallow Adventures Podcast. Woo!
Today on the show, we have comedian Vicky Barbalak. She was a top 10 finalist in season 13 of America's Got Talent. She's been a regular at the Comedy Store. She was passed by Mitzi Shore. Am I speaking about this in present tense or past tense?
It already happened.
Yes.
And we are doing the intro for Vicky.
Yes, we usually don't do these.
So no, she's going to be at the lounge at the end of the universe in Boise.
Sunday night,
October 2nd. Yes, we will be there.
For the show.
And great podcast. The only issue was she was in Vegas on her phone and the internet.
A little bit of internet issue.
I'm going to,
hopefully, the audio turns out well. So we'll see. There may or may not be an audio issue.
Yeah, it may cut in and out a little bit, but please continue listening. She has some fantastic stories. She's been all over the place and she's very fun, very down to earth, and funny. And we're so excited to go to her show on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really cool show. She's got great stories. We were watching her videos, her sets basically from America's Got Talent
last night. Hilarious.
They loved her. She was like a fan favorite. I think she just barely missed not winning the $1 million.
You got to watch it. You got to see how she talks to Simon and Heidi. Hilarious. Yeah, so she's got a podcast out. Trailer Park Diaries that is being produced by All Things Comedy and Bill Burr, which is huge. Go check that out.
Huge.
They do some adorable, could be a TV show, little skits.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure if that was their thing or if that was America's Got Talent, like the stuff we saw last night.
But that's her and her, her besties.
And I think they're doing something based on that soon.
Really
but
cool.
Yeah, they were just kind of the intros they did for at the trailer park.
I could watch an hour of it weekly.
Yes.
It's just funny
Clark is not with us any longer, though, the guy in the scooter.
Yeah, and she talks about that on this podcast.
Yeah.
Also talks about coming up at the Comedy Store. She starred in La Jolla. Talks about traveling, her third and most favorite husband, Lou.
Yeah.
They have a dog that no longer travels.
Couple daughters.
Two or three.
Oh, yeah. She does a wedding.
Oh, weddings.
She's an ordained minister.
It's the only place.
The mobile. Is that what it's the only mobile wedding?
And tell them for $29.95.
Oh, yeah. After you get married for $29.95 in the back of their like wedding van is a bed that's all pimped out, like tiger striped maybe. I get a half hour honeymoon after your wedding, so like that's a genius idea.
It really is. She said
probably
she's
the only one, right?
She said that is, yeah, it's fantastic.
Jeez.
So she said now because she, you know, is doing gigs all over the country that the weekend weddings are way more expensive. She's gonna have to charge thousands of dollars, but if she can fit it in and you're down in her area, she'll give you a good deal for a wedding.
Yeah. So, well, she said when she was first starting out, she was doing them for like $100 yeah. or $120 bucks.
Because the military base is right there.
Yeah.
So this is, we didn't talk for over an hour, but we learned a ton about it.
Got a lot of info. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a fun one.
Definitely. So check it out.
Yeah.
We're going to do the best we can on the audio. There shouldn't be much of a problem. You may miss a word or two here and there. Bear with it. It'll be just fine.
And then go see your show at the Lounge at the End of the Universe, Boise Avenue, off Vista. It's 241.
It's not Boise Avenue.
Boise, Idaho.
Yeah, off Boise, Idaho. Yeah. 2417 Bank Drive in Boise, Idaho.
Google it.
Yes, and say hi to us if you're at the show.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Also, we want to talk to people about our new podcast.
Oh, yes. Uber Funny.
Uber Funny is a game improv game show with entertainers that is on wheels.
Yeah, it's in a car.
We pick people up at odd locations. We take them on errands. We take them through drive-thrus. We do little skits.
Yes.
We laugh. We haven't cried yet. We've eaten corn dogs.
We've had corn dogs. We've had coffee. We've played music.
We have done laundry.
I knew that was happening.
Chris, because he's making noises.
If you're a comedian watching this and you want to be on the show and you're going to be in Boise or are in Boise, hit us up. We'll send you the link to schedule. We'd love to have you on.
Also, if you are an audio listener, it might be a little confusing on audio because we're dropping in little scenes that we've taken with the comedians. So please still continue to listen on audio and then go to our YouTube page, which is Toasted Marshmallow Adventures, our channel, and watch it.
Yeah, you're going to get a lot more out of watching the Uber Funny episodes. They may not make sense on audio.
I've listened, but I know what happened, and
exactly,
it makes sense to me. But, you out there.
So, YouTube it.
Yes, please. Do both. Continue to listen. Listen while you're on your way to work, and then when you get home for the evening, check it out on YouTube. It's funny.
Exactly.
The first episode we picked somebody up at the airport, a comedian, and he had golf clubs and we didn't have room. We had to make room. And then we cut it together. And like you said on a Facebook post, that the cuts, it becomes another.
Oh, well, like the effects kind of almost like another character or layer to it.
So we're throwing in effects and making it fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not a question and answer type podcast.
All.
It's, I guess I've described it as part improv, part interview, part game show.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And there's money involved, folks.
Yeah,
one
you can
of them
win money. Oh, yeah. We made it rain.
Made it rain on a comedian.
Making it rain.
After he ate a corn dog.
Yes.
So it's fun. It's our newest passion. And we're still going to do these Toasted Marshmallow, probably in studio podcasts.
Zooms, yeah.
As well as the Uber Funny. And we also have another podcast that we put out, We Are Idaho. Which is just to kind of explain. We're just kind of doing it with companies, businesses, people with stories in Idaho, because so often Idaho is in the news for not happy things, or they just think we're all about potatoes, and we're way more than that.
Way more than potatoes.
We are Idaho.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check that out. Our first one we did with a company called Day Trail, which you can actually find online, daytrail.com. They have a really cool concept and had them in studio, and we're searching for more. So if you're a local business or somebody in Idaho that has a great story, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah.
So
for real.
Thank you guys so much for listening and watching and following. We're grateful, and without you there really is no us. So
exactly.
We're happy and
so
pleased.
Keep
and
being you,
thank
and
you.
We'll keep being us.
And we're grateful. Yeah.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye. Toasted Marshmallow Adventures out. You got to have glasses too.
Oh, what a beautiful scene you have there.
Oh, you like that?
Oh, thank you.
This is our home studio. We have one of these at the lounge or near the lounge too.
Yeah,
a little
same
studio.
Building.
That looks great. I'm just gonna try it. making a bullshit thing with my mirror. Okay. Good enough.
Woo,
awesome.
Perfect.
Sweet. Well, welcome to the show. Today on the show, we have Vicki Barbalack, comedian Vicki Barbalack, top 10 finalist from America's Got Talent, season 13. Welcome to the show. We're happy to have you.
Very happy.
Well, thanks you guys so much for getting time to, for me. I'm so excited.
Heck yeah.
Are we going to have marshmallows?
Well, if I could send them through you somehow through the internet, I would. But
for sure.
we're fresh. No, actually, we're not out of it. We do have marshmallows.
We do,
it would not be on brand if we didn't have any marshmallows in the house.
So you are
stuff them in your mouth for your.
Yeah.
Do we ever stuff them in our mouth?
We haven't played that game yet. Like how many you can get in?
Oh, well, we lost audio.
Oh.
Here? Now,
hearing
am I gone?
You're there.
There now. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Let me. I'm gonna turn you up just a little bit. Give me just a sec.
Turning you up. So you're in Vegas?
Yeah, I'm. Here's a little view of. I don't have a very good view. They give the comedians the crappy rooms.
Oh wow.
That's the industrial section of Las Vegas.
Nice.
Yeah.
You're better now.
Yeah, I can. Okay. And you're doing a, was that an AGT thing you're doing?
Yeah. AGT has a show called AGT Live Las Vegas where they bring acts in at the Luxor Theater, and it's a really good show. I mean, it's amazing. It's like got it's got Cody Lee. He's just the great that blind autistic kid was just incredible.
Awesome.
The knife throwers, Deadly Games, and Duo Transcend, the people that twirl each other's bodies on.
Wow. They're just,
I mean, it's really fun, and it's just a great show.
And are you hosting?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
This is really. In Vegas? I missed part of that. Oh, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. That's so I come in and out to host it. So I come in like about every month. They bring me in, and I do a couple of dates. And so... Yeah, I'm glad because I can still stay on the road and do all my other touring and
fit that in.
But then come into Vegas and it's just so fun.
Cool.
That's awesome. Now, are you on the road full time?
Pretty much it's back to full time again, you know?
Yeah.
It's like things are, people are wanting to get out, so.
Yes.
It's great. Mm. And I'm so excited. The very first time I went to Boise, I'd been working in Vegas, like this is way before AGT and stuff, but I was like working in Vegas for a week at the Tropicana.
Yeah.
And I was like tired at the end of that week, seven days a week, 2 shows, 14 shows in 7 days.
Wow.
And, you know, partying after the shows. And I'm like, and then I booked in Boise and I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to Boise and rest. I get there, there's 4 gay bars on either side of the corners of the streets. Oh, no! I had so much fun. I was like, I didn't have any idea. But I always tell people when I leave Boise that it's a horrible place. And rats are everywhere.
Yeah.
I got back.
Thank you.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. Yeah, did we read that you won a gay Russian River?
Oh, Russian River.
Yeah.
Thing.
I did. The first 20 years of my stand-up, pretty much, I mean, Mitzi Shore at the Comedy Store loved me, and that was everything.
That's amazing.
Other than that, like, the gay community was really where I got any work. Mm-hmm. So I was really grateful for that. And I won the Russian River Comedy Festival. I had so much fun. I just hosted the Bear Convention at Big Bear.
Oh, cool.
Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, it was so much fun.
I'll
like, I was like, I hope I don't get monkeypox. I'm like, I'm going to be really careful because if that's get monkeypox, we just rub it on people. So I'm going to wear long sleeves. I get there in like 20 minutes. I'm like in my bathing suit in the pool.
You're like,
monkeypox.
Who cares?
Yeah. It was so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And you knew Jen way back when. Jen from the lounge?
Jen Adams. Was one of my comedy sisters, you know, way when I first started, she was one of the only women comics around. Mm-hmm. She was really funny, but she was also like an actor. She did improv and theater and stuff, but she was like doing comedy. So I knew her as like a comedy sister. Mm-hmm. And then she moved out to Boise and, you know, got married, had a baby. and they kept doing like improv and theater stuff. And now she opened a club.
Yeah.
So
awesome. So you have not seen her in this whole time?
Oh no, whenever You'll I come to her. Boise, we get together.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
I was in Boise last year, not to work, but to marry my friends at that cool Masonic Lodge.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
I saw that you have a wedding business.
Now, do you really have that bed in the back?
Yes, we are the only wedding chapel I think I've ever heard of, because it's a wedding chapel to go. We travel over, we can marry anybody, anytime, anywhere. But we're the only chapel, I believe, that offers a $29.95 half hour honeymoon in the back of it.
Yes. That's awesome.
That's so fun.
But we got it.
Yeah. Nice. That's
that
cool.
Is so fun.
So it's you started doing that just to like supplement when you if you weren't making enough from comedy back in the day?
For sure. And you know, weddings are so expensive. So I would have these $199 weddings and Semper Fi Fridays at Camp Pendleton, because I'm right by the Marine base where I live in Oceanside. Mm-hmm. So we'd have $99 weddings. No, it was really fun. And then now it's kind of different because I'm on tour and like weekends are really expensive. I have to charge like thousands of dollars to marry people on weekends.
Yeah.
And so I can only marry stupid rich people. Like, it's so much throwing it away.
But
I can still do weddings for people at a low cost when they can get married either at my trailer park or when I'm on the road, if we plan ahead.
Right.
And then I do it, you know, a few $100s like usual.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
So you're still in the trailer park.
Vista Manor Trailer Park?
Vista Manor was my first trailer park.
Oh.
I moved into with the girls when I very first started stand-up. So now we're in Rancho Calavero.
Oh,
they always have stupid names, like, you know, estates. Like, you know, not like it could be, like, you know, Rancho Crackhead or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, our park now we live in. But since AGT, I was able to buy the best trailer in my park.
Nice.
To look down on everybody.
Oh, wow. Is it up on a hill? Did I hear something about it being up on a hill?
Yes.
We were watching your AGT stuff last night.
Hilarious. Yeah. Oh, my God. Those little skits you do inside the park, they could be a movie. Those are so funny.
Shanika and I, my best friend Sean Flosky, I call her Shanika forever, but we have that Trailer Park Diaries podcast that Bill Burr's producing for us.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I saw that.
But we're making our own little videos at the trailer park, and we're having so much fun. But then again, we forget not to use real, you know, fake names.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've got this one woman so mad at me, and she's a really dear friend, but I've completely forgot to change her name.
Do you still see the guy in the scooter?
Clark. Unfortunately, we lost Clark.
Oh, yeah. Poor Clark.
Yeah, he was the best guy. Just shortly before he passed away, one of his daughters died, and she had been really sick. But we got home from the road, and it was like 6 o'clock at night. We drive up to our trailer, and Clark is sitting outside our trailer in his scooter. And I'm like, Lou, drive around. I don't have it in me to talk to Clark right now. I'm exhausted. We got up at 4 a.m. We'd been flying all day. And then I'm like, turn around. Let's go back. Clark lost his daughter. We got to talk to him. And I say, Clark, I've got to go inside, take a quick shower. But my grandsons are coming back in about an hour. Will you come back and tell him some of your war stories? Because I knew he loves to tell war stories, and I would cheer him up. So my grandsons are sitting there, and one of them even has autism, and he won't sit for anything. But I go, Clark's daughter died, so please be good. All three of the little boys are sitting on the steps, ready for Clark to tell his stories. And he brings two hats from different boats he was on in World War II, and he starts telling one story. Goes into the next. He goes, you got to be careful, kids. You got to listen to your thoughts. Anything can happen. I was about to go down this one hole, and I had a feeling, don't go. And then a minute later, torpedo struck down, blew up in the hole. Everybody burned as they stood.
Oh, jeez.
Like,
oh, God.
Little old grandkids are like,
nightmares.
But I miss him so much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like a really cool guy.
What do the folks in the park think of your fame?
It's so silly. Like, I never think, like, that they would even care or anything like that. But it's like a, like the other night I went to karaoke because I had a weird Saturday night off, and I always see this, it's a Wednesday, you know, Saturday night karaoke. I'm like, I got to go and I got to tape this for Trailer Park Diaries, man. This has got to be worth taping.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Trailer Park Karaoke. And it was just a dream come true. I mean, there's a kick line for the New York, New York, all the, I'm like, we're doing a kick line and the, it's hilarious. But then the next day I ran into a bunch of people. They go, oh, I heard you were at karaoke. Like, you know, like people like called each other to go, oh, you missed, like, I don't.
Oh, jeez.
but in general, it's no big deal. It's all great.
Yeah. You know? Oh, that's really cool.
I love that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How hard was it at the Comedy Store back in the day being a female?
You know, it was really, I know this sounds really weird. Maybe it's because I was so old. I was like 40, 39, 40 when I walked in there for the first time in Hollywood. And I started in La Jolla Comedy Store, okay, which was so gentle. And then when I go to Hollywood, I remember driving up Sunset Boulevard and turning into that comedian's parking lot, thinking to myself, I've been working in my parents' carpet store for 20 years. I'm like, I thought to myself, I'm a mom from Vista, California, who sells carpet during the day. I'm 40 years old. I'm fat as hell. I'm about to drive into the comedian's parking lot on Sunset Boulevard. How did I get here? Yeah. What, where is the gate that is supposed to be shut? How am I walking through this gate?
Yeah.
And every time I walk, I still drive into that Comedy Store parking lot. I go, I have like a shiver. I'm like, I can't believe I'm here. And, but when I walked in, you know, it was a little dark, you know, it was one of those periods of a little darkness. And I just walked in, and maybe because everyone got, all the guys just thought I was like a mom. Mm-hmm. Everyone was like, you know, right away, I was like friends with everybody. I mean,
wow, that's good.
My women friends that were there, very few were there, but a lot of them didn't have that same experience. You know, they got harassed. It wasn't easy.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. Yeah. Jeez. So who have you met there who do you look up to in comedy? Have you met your people that you want to meet?
Yeah. I mean, like, but you know, you walk in and Chris Rock will come on and, you know, I mean, you see everybody you that's working, everyone just pops in there, you know, that you want to see. So you know, it's great in LA between the store and the improv, you can see everybody and it's fun. And then also just the up and coming comics that it's just so fun to see everybody grow. And
and
the vibe of the Comedy Store is so cool. So if you guys are in LA, anybody that's in LA, just the Comedy Store is the place.
Yeah.
We've been.
Yeah. We went about 4 years ago, I think. Yeah.
So fun.
We had another trip planned. And then the pandemic happened. We were supposed to go in May of 2020. We had a week-long trip planned, and we were just going to go to as many as the comedy venues as we could in that week. And then COVID hit, and we had to cancel that trip.
Cancel the whole dang thing.
Schedule, and you want to come down through San Diego? My trailer has an extra room and a bathroom. It's very nice.
Oh, we love that. Yes. Yes.
Do you have a place in San Diego? I thought you were in Florida for some reason.
You know, people think that because it's an ocean in Florida.
Okay.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So we got to make a Southern California trip again.
So do you know Bobby Lee? That's also his starting spot.
Bobby started right before me. In fact, the night I became a regular, I was at the Comedy Store, and Fred Burns, the manager, he never thought I was funny, and I wasn't funny. And when I started, and I also took Sandy Shore's comedy class, and he hated anyone that would take that class. Fred was a genius, and he was a huge mentor to Bobby and everybody. But so I had been working, but Fred didn't know it because he never let me on stage. And I've been working at bars really hard for like 2.5 years. And I had a pretty good 5 and 7 minutes by that time. So when I always come on Sunday night to open mic and bring baked goods for the staff, because I would bake on Sunday for my girls. So I'd always come Sunday nights, and I'd do like a bar show. Then I'd go to the Comedy Store. So I'd go in there. Bobby was there, of course. And everybody got quiet, and they go, Mitzi's here, Mitzi's here. I didn't know who Mitzi Shore was. And so apparently she saw me standing at the bar. And a minute later, Fred comes up to me and he goes, Mitzi wants to see you on stage. So I'm like, okay, I don't know who she is.
Yeah.
I have a really good set. Everybody else has eaten it because they're so nervous. That's Mitzi. And I just had fun. And she pulls me over. She waves me to her little booth and goes, sit down. And she goes, you're a regular. Now oh, wow. go away.
Oh, jeez.
Literally. Yeah. And I get up to the bar and I said to Bobby, I go, what's a regular? Oh. He goes, are you kidding me? He goes, you're a paid regular, Vicky. That means you can go to Hollywood. And I went outside and I just started screaming in the alley because I knew something big happened.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel clear what, but I knew it was going to be big. So.
Wow. And wow, it's so funny. Awesome. Everybody, you know, of course, we've never met her, but and now can't, but everybody has her voice down.
Yeah. That voice.
One time I was getting my headshots done for AGT. When AGT was starting, I never have told this story on a podcast before. People are going to think I'm such a wacko, but I don't care. So I was getting my headshots taken by my old friend who I met when our kids were in kindergarten. And she was a great photographer. And then she became a dog psychic. There you go. But for old time, I wanted her to do my headshots. I go over to her house and I have my makeup on and everything. And she goes, hey, who's Mitzi? I go, what do you mean? She goes, there's someone in the room named Mitzi. I go, what? And she goes, yeah. And Mitzi had died about 6 months before that, 8 months. I go, Mitzi. And she goes, yeah, she has a really funny voice. And then wow. My goosebumps and I started crying. Like, and I was so worried about my makeup. I go, what?
Wow.
And she goes, yeah, she has a message for you. And I'm like, what? And she said, she wants you to know she's going to be watching over for you and everything's going to be fine.
Wow.
And then at the very end of our session, and that was that, and at the very end of our session, she goes, Mitzi wants you to know one other thing, don't settle. And then I just like, okay. And then I remember I was going to go to Ross after that. Then I go, Mitzi wants me to go to Nordstrom's on the
track. Yeah, right.
So weird. And then when I went to my first audition at AGT, I just honestly felt that Mitzi was like floating over me. It's just the weirdest thing.
Wow. Cool.
You had some very awesome outfits on America's Got Talent,
you did.
Too.
Yeah. I loved the pink one.
Oh, that matched the background.
Like, I think she had that made. Was that made specially for you?
They made it for me, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Wear that outfit. They made me two dresses because I would, depending on what I would eat, I would grow during the.
Oh, Jesus.
Me too. If I went up and down, but they didn't know what size I'd be. But yeah. And then at the end, I'm like, do I get to keep these clothes? And they go, probably not. So I took a $20 bill and I went up to Nigel, the head producer of the show. I'm like, hey, Nigel, can I talk to you a minute? He goes, yeah. I go, here's $20 if I can keep my clothes. He goes, oh, Vicky, $20 and your clothes.
Jeez. That's awesome. Yeah. Don't they say the Comedy Store has spirits living in it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, for real, it is really spooky. Mitzi moved out of her office because she couldn't stand it. And Jeff Scott, the piano player there, who'd been there forever, we just
lost him. But yeah.
He had so many experiences. And he thought I was backstage one time when he heard my heels clicking down the hallway. And it was before the main room opened. And then I came in through the front door and he looked at me, he goes, what? I just heard you backstage. I go, no, I just got here. And he just turned like white.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of bizarre it used to be a mob, you know, the Ciro's, and a lot of people were killed there and, you know,
crazy.
Wow.
It's an awesome place. We just had a problem with which line to be in.
Yeah, we
not
were
in being the, from there. We got in the wrong line, yeah. And then we ran to the other side.
Yeah, there was
And now they're frisking everybody with metal detectors before you go in.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah. All these white people have never been frisked before. It's so fun to see. They're
Is that because of people getting accosted while they're on stage? Dave Chappelle and.
I wonder if it's for the comics or the you know, it's like when I'm working here in Las Vegas, you know, we have these drills every month for, you know, active shootings and it's just the world. I mean, you know, if you're in it's just creepy. It's like, now we're not worried about COVID. We got to worry about a shooter, you know?
Yeah.
Like, come on.
That's insane.
So, but I think it does make people feel calmer knowing that there's been a metal detector.
True.
Yeah.
Sad, but yeah.
Yeah, it kind of sucks it. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
When you're going to be going like the donut shop, you have to be checked out.
Right.
But it is just a big drag.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sheesh.
Wow.
But that, you know, it is everywhere.
I know. Yeah.
So is Boise just getting, like, how is it in Boise? Is it manageable? All the growth and everything is still very cool.
Well, there's way more people here.
Traffic.
Their traffic has gotten horrible. Still nothing compared to, like, Southern California. Yeah. But
for us.
For here, it's bad. Because when I first moved here 20 years ago, there was no one on the road. You could drive, and it was relaxing to drive around here.
I moved here in 93, and I remember going to, I was heading to Boise, and there were cows on the freeway, and nobody was injured. And now it would be a big problem.
Yeah. And so, so it's gotten pretty overcrowded. Now they're trying to widen all the roads because of all the people. So there's construction. And there's more crime that has come with that, too.
Crazy more
so
crime.
It's still a nice place, but you hear of more frequent murders and things like that now.
Yeah.
Well, I read that word of mass murder. Mass murder. Terrible traffic.
Yeah. Don't come.
Exactly. We'll promote that.
I really, honest to God, I really don't. Because, I mean, I get it. I mean, not that one person would matter, but if we all don't tell how great Boise is.
Yeah, too many people have found out already.
Mm-hmm. The mountains, it's so beautiful. And I love floating the river. It's so much fun.
I didn't know because
I'm in, you know, here in Oceanside, I didn't know it's already winter there, you know, and I cannot go inner tubing this week.
Yeah.
Like, everyone goes, are you?
Yeah, I would.
There's no inner.
Yeah, no. We're running like low 80s, high 70s now. So, yeah, it'd be a little cold in the water probably.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. That's okay. They're still drinking.
That's right.
They're still drinking, yes.
Still drinking.
Yeah.
Do you go to the Torch? Does that place ring a bell?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Torch, the balcony. You mentioned the gay bars.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And then I love the other one. Wait, is that the Torch? I love the one where the gal sings rock and roll and there's horns hanging from all the ceiling.
You're talking about Humpin' Hannah's?
Humpin' Hannah's, I think that's it. It's where the gal's had it forever and she sings every night rock and roll.
Rocky Johnson, the Rocky Johnson band. Does that sound familiar?
It could be. And there's all these antlers hanging everywhere, like you can't see the ceiling from the antlers.
That I don't know. I haven't been there in so long, but I know she's still playing there because I hear her commercials on the radio.
I mean, I have to check her out whenever I come to town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you tour mostly by yourself or does your husband come with you?
Lou, my favorite husband, he comes usually. He's got a big job he'll stay on, but he still keeps his job at the Comedy Store because he plays La Jolla. But he comes and he'll play like in Boise at Jen's Club. He'll play like before the show, he'll play for like an hour.
Oh, so cool.
He gets their food. Yeah, he's a really fun player.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Oh, wait. And Jimmy,
your dog?
Yeah.
Comes
with
you?
He's coming to Boise.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah. What kind of dog do you have?
He's like a little beige dog. We don't know what he is.
<He's> little beige.
He's incontinent in airports, so we can't fly anymore. Oh. Only one of us can poop in the airport, so he cannot fly. But when we go on road trips, because, you know, it's just for some reason when he's walking down a long terminal, he used to fly all the time, but he can't fly anymore. So he's in no trouble in any other place, but just the airports, we can't risk him, so he can only. So this is the road trip we're taking.
Yay!
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Cool.
That's cool. So your podcast, it's part of All Things Comedy, right? And that's Bill Burr's dealio. We actually have a couple of local friends who are comedians that are opening for Bill Burr while he's here in December, and we're going to that show. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
How fun!
Yeah,
that's great. Locals, that's fantastic.
Yeah, apparently it just came out of a Twitter message one of them sent out and tagged Bill Burr, and then two of our guys are getting to go do like 5 minutes at a show,
but they are so excited and so nervous.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
he really that is really great.
Yeah,
he's so watch, and his studio is super nice. So, and Al Madrigal, do you guys know Al Madrigal?
Yeah.
he came up with the concept of Trailer Park Diaries. It was his idea.
Oh, cool.
So he told us, he goes, a diary. I want a diary podcast. We're like, okay, as long as Trailer Park. And then that's how we put it together.
Oh, that's nice. Awesome. Sweet. Yeah, I loved when you were up on the stage for America's Got Talent. You had that whole screen behind you to promote yourself. Amazing.
Oh, yeah, that was pretty cool looking.
The whole screen is leopard behind me when I'm here. So, you know, it's just, it's amazing what you could do with like a green screen and $20 million.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I mean, you guys have a killer background. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Another thing I want to talk to you about, because I feel like it goes in line with all the trailer park stuff, is your you are one of six comedians in a nationwide search for Jenny's Comedy Divas on the Jenny Jones Show, which is back in the day with some daytime trash TV.
Honestly, I've been doing comedy for like 6 months.
Oh.
6 months. Excuse me, Lou. Lou. Hey, Lou. Unbelievable.
We love Lou.
Yeah, I've been doing comedy like 6 months, but I'd been on stage in a long purple sequin gown, and this guy was picking the comics for the Jenny Jones Show. He was a really cool guy, super queen from Chicago, and I think he just picked me because he liked my dress and my big
Hello.
Giant boof. And so, yeah, but I really wasn't ready for that, to go to Chicago. I mean, I'd just literally been doing less than 6 months comedy. So, I was kind of like a deer in headlights on the stage.
Wow.
But it was really fun to go. I got to meet Jerry Springer.
Oh,
whoa.
God, yeah.
So in awe.
Yeah.
I was a big, you know, I always thought if I homeschooled my kids, we'd just watch Jerry Springer all day.
Yeah. Gosh.
Oh, girl.
And you, so were you actually on the show, Jenny Jones Show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was really nice. She was, you know, just trying to give a break to some young women from all over the country.
Oh,
and that
cool.
was really, unlike other comics like Ellen DeGeneres, who's never had I don't think she's ever had a woman comic on her show.
Wow.
But, really?
Voice. But I mean, Jenny Jones was really nice about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. That's really cool.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
You have had fun.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had an awesome
yeah.
career. And that you started at 38. You just saw an ad for a comedy class and thought, hey, I'll give that a try.
Exactly. And that's what happened. And I just loved it so much. I told my parents to sell the carpet store and keep the money for themselves. And everyone said, you're insane. And I probably was, but I just did it. And I bought a trailer for $11,000. Moved in there with my daughters, and we just made it somehow.
Yeah.
And my daughters have done great because I was so poor. They got all kind of college loans because failure. So, I mean, it all worked out, and it's been so much fun. And then when AGT came, I just kept praying like something would happen that I get to keep doing stand up, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't see, and that happened. So it's just been so great.
Wow. That's awesome. It's cool. True. You should follow your dreams.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that's when you're the happiest, is when you're following your dreams.
It is true. It's like, it doesn't matter what you do, and it makes the world a better place because, you know, if you want to be like a, you know, a baker, and people go, oh, you shouldn't be a baker, but your passion is to be a baker, you should be a baker because then there'd be a really great bakery somewhere.
Right.
And it's like, most people just fall into what they're doing and they don't examine if it's what they should be doing. You're doing what your parents told you, like, I wanted to be an art teacher, but my parents said, nobody should be an art teacher. You should just work at our carpet store. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're lucky enough to find what you like, no matter what it is, no matter what people tell you that you shouldn't do it. What's the harm? I mean, what's the harm? What's money? I mean, I know it's scary sometimes, but
yeah,
worth it if you want to do something. How lucky is that?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're all so afraid of failure, but you just learn when you fail. It's not even a failure. It's just, it helps you figure the next part out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That didn't work or whatever.
Definitely.
You're right. You get more energy from failing. And nobody's going to go straight up in success unless you're like Jerry Seinfeld. That guy pulled that out.
Yeah.
Right.
Everybody else in every other field, you got to learn how to lay the bricks and do it and take the fall and feel like quitting half the time and keep going anyway. that's just how you do it.
Yeah.
We'll help you.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you find the right people. And
yeah, you start to draw those people to you, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
I remember one time I let it slip to my girlfriend that one of my shows canceled. It was like a $150 show on a Saturday. And I let her know. I was really worried. I'm like, damn it. I shouldn't have said anything to her. I was just so distraught because $150 was like a lot of money. And I let her know. And then I get home from dropping the kids off from school. And I get back home to my trailer. And on the back porch is like four bags of groceries from Trader Joe's. And I knew she went and got groceries for me.
Oh, that's cool.
I felt so bad at first. I was like, God, I'm such a failure. I'm the worst mother. I'm the most irresponsible person, the most selfish person. Look what I'm doing to my children. Friends are dropping off food. Mm-hmm. Then, you know what? Somebody loves me so much that they, and I, you know, I went, that's a beautiful thing. And I'm, you know, just like, accept it.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Don't push it away.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, it's cool too when it goes full circle and then you're able to do that for someone else down the line.
Nothing better than that, you know?
Yeah.
Knowing that somebody is in a little bit of need and you're able to help them some way. And it's, you know, so cool. It's a great thing. And even like tipping in restaurants now, you know, because I was always so poor. I wouldn't go out if I couldn't leave 20%. Mm. But I love, like, leave more, you know, like having a slow shift and you just get to leave extra. It does little things like that. When you, it's not like I have a bunch of money, but it's like the ability to just leave a little bit extra.
Of course.
Makes,
makes you feel great. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's an amazing. And it does. It all comes back to you one way or another. Yeah. It for sure does.
Yeah. We've been able to do that with some local comedians that have come up on hard times and been able to help them out. It's really cool to be able to do that and help them out. And, you know, in return, we get their comedy and their jokes.
Yeah. Oh, so cool. That's so neat. Yeah. That's so cool. I always love to help people look out for each other, you know?
Yeah, yes. Definitely.
Yeah. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I first started, my cousin, she was in communications. She started stacking phone books when she was 16 years old. Never got a college degree, ended up on the cover of Communication Magazine. She worked her way up, never working. When I started stand-up, you know, I'd been selling carpet for 20 years, kind of miserable in that. And she goes, you know what, Vicki, you're going to love your peers as much as you love the work. And I didn't understand what she meant, but it came to be that I've just met so many kindred spirits. People go, comics are dark and assholes and stuff. And there's a lot of asshole comics, just like anything else. But I've met so many kindred spirits that I'm just so grateful. It has meant so much. And then audience members too, like I've made friends with people that I met out on the road that have become my friends. It's really cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, that is really cool.
We love the comedians that we've met. Everybody feels so much more real than other people. You know, there's no facade. Comedians are saying what they want to say and how they feel about things.
Yeah.
Generally all the time, it seems like. Mm. So it's refreshing actually.
Yeah.
But and then on the other hand, sometimes I'm like, oh man, you really shouldn't have said that.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember the other day in the trailer park, it was a real hot day and I had friends over to the pool. So I was using the trailer park kitchen to bring my food back and forth to the pool. And one of my lady friends from the trailer park, Joanne, she was in the kitchen. She goes, I've been sick for a couple of weeks. I go, oh, you have the flu? No, COVID. Feeling all right? She goes, no, I still have it. Oh. I'm like, Gwen, get your face out of the kitchen.
Oh God!
And she scoots away, and I'm like, you know, I don't know if she knows I'm kind of kidding when I say, and I go, COVID face,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Called me an hour later. She goes, I have a chocolate cake left over. If you guys would like it for your party. I'm like, no, I don't want your COVID cake either.
Your COVID cake from your COVID face.
Yeah, no. Jeez.
No, sometimes, you know, you're talking on stage to people that are not, you know what I mean? You're like using your comedy voice all the time. Your comedy mouth, brain.
That's funny. Yeah.
It's awesome. Now, when during the pandemic for you, one of the ones, and I know a couple of comedians that were still traveling around doing shows, did that shut you down for the most part, or were you still performing?
I was a bad girl. All my friend, a lot of my friends were calling me like super spreader.
Oh, and, geez.
The thing was, I know this is weird, but I know this guy in Las Vegas, super, super great guy. I mean, like, he's just the biggest, gay, most beautiful man, but he's very small, actually, but he's got a big spirit, mm-hmm. real wealth. And I'm over at his house, and I'm standing on these leopard rugs, and tigers are on the walls, all these dead animals everywhere. And I'm like, Ray, did you kill these animals? He goes, oh, no, I could never kill an animal. But since they're already dead. And so that's how I felt when I was super spreading, because I'm like, somebody, I was working in Texas, you know, Oklahoma, Florida, all the places with no COVID. And I figured if I didn't go on stage, somebody else was going to go on stage. Yeah. I'm like, they're already dead. Yeah. So I did a lot of work. And I just, at the beginning, and also my daughters are like, Mom, you got to go. Like, I thought they really wanted me to die. But they just really were pushing me. They go, you just say yes. So I'm like, okay. But we were careful. You know, we didn't do meet and greets or anything.
Oh, wow. What do you think about how Austin has grown? Austin, Texas, is it crazy?
Yeah, you know, it is crazy. You know, as soon as Joe Rogan went, all the Comedy Store staff went.
And I know, Tony Hinchcliffe, yeah. Well, yeah.
And then the manager, yeah. But the thing is, Austin's so beautiful. And my friend, like a lot of my friends are moving there, and Nashville too. I mean, like, it's like, in a way, it's taken some of the pressure off Boise.
True.
Yeah, right. So much.
Yeah, Nashville and Austin is just, that's where everyone's going.
Yeah.
And in terms of being a comedian, artist or a singer or an actor, because all the auditions are on Zoom now, you don't have to be in LA.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we heard from, who'd we have on? Daniel Eaches, yes. I think. Yeah. He said it's like that. Yeah, you don't have to be there anymore.
Which is awesome, right?
It is great. Yeah. I mean, like, even for me, it's so convenient because, I mean, I'm starting to go out on more auditions. And, you know, I used to drive back and forth to LA, you know, and just these casting directors are like, why do you do this? And now it's so much easier. Yeah.
Did I read something that you did some, did you write for Roseanne or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I wrote, I won Funniest Mom in America on Nick at Night, like a long time ago. Mm. And Roseanne was that year. And she left the Comedy Store, you know, before I started, but I was always afraid if she saw me that she would maybe think I was hacking her because I'm fat, I have brown hair, I live in a trailer, she lived in a trailer, mm-hmm. you know, and I was always worried, would she think, you know, but I finally auditioned for Funniest Mom because they used to say if you were a Comedy Store comic, you couldn't audition. It was really weird.
Oh, wow.
But then finally a new producer came and he brought me in to audition. So I'm at the Laugh Factory auditioning. And I said, I found out that night Roseanne was going to host that season. I'm like, oh no. Oh no. And then they go, is she here tonight? They go, no. So I went up on stage and I did my set. And I all of a sudden heard her laugh, man. You can't miss her laugh. So I'm like, okay, she's laughing. Then she doesn't think I'm a hack. And anyway, She totally got the difference between us. And so after the show wrapped, she asked me to write for her when she was going to start to do stand-up again.
Wow.
But she ended up, it was really fun. I'm writing for her. And it was a big thrill.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So what are you doing right now besides touring and doing
besides
gigs?
Everything?
Yeah, besides everything.
Right now, we're finishing season 3 of the Trailer Park Diaries right now.
Okay.
And then Shanika and I are writing a pilot for a TV show kind of based on that show.
Oh, cool.
I go out on more regular auditions because I finally got a good agent and I'm just traveling and having fun and still doing some weddings and just time of my life.
So your show is this
8 p.m. Sunday.
Yes, October 2nd at the Lounge at the End of the Universe. That's going to be awesome to have you in Boise.
It's going to be a blast.
And so you've never seen the Lounge?
No, I'm so excited.
Oh, cool.
I bet it's really
cool. It's awesome.
It's a really cool
place. It's a great
place, yeah.
Vibe.
There's got to be a comedy club in Boise because Boise loves comedy.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
I get a room at the Potato Hotel, but I didn't book it in time.
Is that an Airbnb, a big potato thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys seen it?
I haven't seen it.
I've seen it online, but not in person. I don't know.
My brother goes, drive out there. I'm like, I'm not going to drive out there and start crying because I can't stay there. Yeah. No.
Exactly.
Well, next time you come to town, Potato yes. Hotel.
Potato Hotel. And we also got to get you, it sound weird, in our car for our Uber Funny show.
Oh, that's so neat that you do that. I love that.
Yes.
I would love that next time.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been really fun.
Yeah, I love what you guys do. It's
Yay.
Really great.
Thank you.
Yay. Well, we hope to meet you on Sunday.
Yes, yeah, so we'll be
in person.
Oops, you're breaking up a little on me again.
This damn phone in this motel. Oh. Well, it's great to see you Sunday.
Yes,
we'll see
yay.
You. It's great talking to
Thank
you.
Thank you so much, Vicky, and safe travels to you and your husband and your pup.
Yes.
We'll see you Sunday.
See you Sunday.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.